Our podcast will begin in just a moment. InvestTalk distribution is made possible by KPP Financial. Steve Peasley, President. And a reminder about our webinar coming up next week, Survival and Opportunities in a Volatile Market. Online, it's free. If your concern has stalled your retirement plan, Steve and Justin will share their insights and help you feel more confident again. This webinar has a new date, April 14th, 6:30 to 7:30 p.m. Pacific Time. It's free, but attendance is limited, so you need to sign up soon. Just go to investtalk.com. That's InvestTalk with two T's, and click on the InvestTalk tab. Now, today's InvestTalk.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to this Friday edition of InvestTalk. It is April 8th, 2016. And, of course, our goal is always the same, and that is to try to help you be an above-average investor. Don't want to be average. We want to be better than that. And one of the ways we can serve you, or I try to, is provide you with information and perspective that maybe will help you become that better investor. You know, we have that. We also have an InvestTalk Insider program that gives you free information. Besides a show where we provide answer questions, provide information, as an InvestTalk Insider, you have access to a lot of different resources that come straight from my desk or Justin's desk or Jason's desk, right from our desk. The special watch lists are created by us. You know, we give you an idea of investments that pros consider when exploring certain asset classes. We have webinar archive that's there, provides access to various lessons about how to invest properly. The chart lessons are there on InvestTalk Insider. It's a good source of information. We have some easy to read info sheets, we call them, about life insurance, for instance. Who hasn't been approached by someone trying to sell you life insurance? Almost everybody, it seems like everybody is a life insurance agent sometime in their life. And one of our sheets is on that topic, and we get questions about it all the time, about life insurance. I do, anyways. And there's three basic kinds. Term life, which, by the way, is my favorite. This is a contract for a specific period of time. The policy does not increase in value or act as some kind of investment. That's not what it does. There are three parts of it, of a term policy. The face amount of the policy upon death, how much you're going to get. The premium, it stays level all through its time. And the length of the coverage. Term meaning that there is a term, 10 years, 15 years, 5 years, 20 years, whatever term it is, that's how long it lasts, and then it ends. Whole life provides lifetime benefits for a level premium in most cases. Whole life. Unlike term, that has a set period with level premium, whole life has no set term. It just keeps going. Premiums are much higher, and as a component of the contract that stipulates policyholders are entitled to cash value built up over time in the policy. And you can take a loan against that money. Then there's universal life, which is newer and is more flexible. And unlike whole life, part of the premium can be invested in different assets, usually mutual funds. All these policies are contracts issued by insurance companies. They're all difficult. They're all complex. They're all written in legalese. Don't just buy what the salesman says it says. The salesman tells you a story of how good these things are. They're not lying. They're telling you the absolute truth, but they're not telling you the whole story either. Many times, they don't even know the whole story. They don't. So do you have a question about life insurance? We're here to help. Give me a call. We'll talk about that if you want, or anything financial. 888-99-CHARGE is our anytime number. And let's take a question right now from Ruby in Santa Clara. How you doing, Ruby?
Hi, Steve. Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I'm doing good. So, basically, this is regarding the stock BRK.B, Berkshire Hathaway Class B shares. Is the current price, is it the right time to invest? And what is the downside and upside? What is the risk involved in this, right? So,
okay.
I need your suggestion.
Okay, I would say no, this is not the right time to invest. It's had a really good move up in the last 6-7 weeks, just like the market. And you probably will get a retest. It's around $141 today. I would not be surprised if it doesn't retest $125 again. And that's when you would buy it. Now, what's going to happen, Ruby, is when it goes down there, no one's going to want to look at it because it's gone down and everybody's going to worry that it's going to go down more. And it could. I'm not saying it can't. But you don't want to buy at a high. And this is a high. This is a high. It's been here May, June, and then it was here in August, and now it's here again. It didn't come up in December like the rest of the market, but it is now. I would wait for the pullback. You will get a pullback, Ruby. You will.
Okay? Steve, do they provide the dividends, or it's not a dividend stock?
They pay a dividend. Berkshire Hathaway, I think they pay a dividend. Let's see if I can find it. Yes, maybe slash B. Or maybe it's a BRK. Let me try that. BRK.
BRK, yeah.
Yes, but there's B shares and there's A shares. I'm trying to find the right share class, and it's not coming up. I do believe it plays a dividend, but I can't tell you for sure because it's not coming up on my software for some reason. Ruby, thank you for the call. Thank you for the call. I appreciate it. Thank you. That was Berkshire Hathaway. The symbol is BRK, but there's BRK.B, there's BRKA, different class of shares. 888-99-CHART, how much can you make with mutual funds? That's going to be one of our main talking points today. That is our main talking point today. Alcoa. Alcoa kicks off the earnings season every year, even though there's a few companies that report before Alcoa. But Alcoa is going to report on Monday after hours. Monday after hours, I want to talk about what to expect. And there's a reason why Alcoa is considered the first big major kickoff to the earnings season. We'll talk about that too. U.S. stocks are the best investment right now. Why do I say that? Why? I think we're going to be in a correction. I think we're going to go have another correction. I do. But they're still the best investments right now. I'll talk about why. Blue-collar jobs that pay big bucks. I'm going to give you five blue-collar jobs that pay big money. These are jobs that you don't have to go to college to have, to get. And they all pay very decent salaries. So those are, I always like to end at least the week on the last talking point on something a little lighter than all the serious matters we talk about every day. What did the market do today? Well, it was up nicely at the beginning of the day, not tremendously up, but up nicer than it ended up being. The Dow was up 35 points, the NASDAQ up 2, and the S&P up 6. So for the week, we have a market that's kind of showing a lot of resistance here near the tops. And many of the indexes were approaching the highs made in December, November, December, and didn't quite make it. And then I'm getting a feeling that are they going to start rolling over? We need some kind of catalyst to push the market higher. I don't know where that's going to come from. And we could get just the opposite. We could get a catalyst to drop it hard. I just don't know. No one knows. Don't ever mistake. I love it when these people predict the market. And I can predict it. I'll predict it. But you're going to be wrong just as much as you are right. Okay? And they play down the fact when they're wrong. They never talk about it. And they play up the fact that when they're right, you never hear the end of it. But the honest truth is no one knows where the market's going. What I can share with you and what I try to share with you is to look at it more realistically. Should it go up? What's the value of the overall market? What does it usually do in history when the same kind of circumstances are present? What will happen if we're going to recession, and are we going to recession, and what does the market do when do before recession? This is what I can tell you what history has done, and history tends to repeat itself. That is as close as you can get to predicting where the market's gone. And that's not very reliable, just telling you. How much can you make with a mutual fund, everybody? Well, it depends on what you do with it, isn't it? Really, what are you going to do with it? I'm glad you're here with us today on Invest Talk. I'm financial advisor Steve Peasley. One of the services I provide to our listeners, free of charge, is a retirement review. I'll be in San Diego County at our Carlsbad office April 12th. If you live in that area, I'd love to meet with you there. next, I'll be do Skype and telephone calls all day long for people across the country on the 19th. You can set that up. You can set up any day you want as long as I'm available, but the 19th is what we dedicate. And on the 20th, I'll be in San Ramon for meetings. So these days are listed on investtalk.com. To get to the schedule, just go to investtalk.com and click on InvestTalk tab.
Hello, Steve, and hello, Justin. This is Raphael from Jersey. Just want to thank you guys for all you do. A wealth of knowledge and information. We are taking advantage of that, the listeners. And I wanted to give you guys a quick understanding of what strategy I'm trying to employ and to get your opinion of it. Now, I've tried many different things in my investing life, which is spanning about 8 years now. As I look back at the investments I've made, I realized one thing. I really pick really good stocks. The problem is I listen to the news or I get shaken out by some momentary price swings. And I wanted to ask you guys, is this a better strategy? Buy into the companies that you believe will continue to make all-time highs. Now, not every month and not every year, but over the long term, they continue to forge higher. And using the pullbacks and the recessions and all these other near-term type of volatility to keep pushing more money into those investments so that those dividends and those gains and your cost basis are going down while the dividends and your gains go up. This is the strategy only used if you're picking stocks that are going to run ahead of the market. Some examples I have would be MasterCard and AutoZone, for instance. Any selling of those type of investments would have eventually come all the way back and surpassed where you sold. So I just wanted to get your opinion of that. Otherwise, that's it. I love your show. You guys are doing a really great job. Thank you. Bye.
Okay, he's from New Jersey, and I don't know if you know, but I lived 9 years. I graduated from college here in the West Coast, and I lived 9 years and worked in the city for 7 of those years, and then down in Princeton for another couple of years before moving back to the West Coast. And I think I mentioned it to everybody, New Jersey is called the Garden State because it is a very pretty state. I know people don't believe me when I tell them that, but it is. Anyways, yes, that idea you just propounded is sound. The trick on that is to make sure you buy well-funded, well-capitalized, well-run companies. You got to be kind of a Warren Buffett. You're buying the company. The company has a consistent record of making money, growing money. It doesn't have to grow tremendously every year or anything. And then in recessions, every company goes down in recession. Very few companies go up in recession. So in recessions or temporary problems with the company, as long as they are temporary or it's just a recession, which is always temporary, might be a year or two, but it's temporary, you want to add to those blue chip core holdings. Problem is most people emotionally can't add to those. Think about it. Think about what are you trying to do. This is what we talk about trying to set your emotions aside all the time. Don't let emotions make the decision. Because I am telling you to buy this company. I'm AutoZone, for instance. You mentioned AutoZone. I'm telling you to buy it as it gets cut in half in price. You own some of it already. It's going down, 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 down. And I'm saying, buy some more. That is a philosophy that works. Now, you can't just do it with one stock or a few stocks. You have to do it with a group of core holdings. Because every so often, one of those core holdings is going to have a huge problem and maybe go out of business or get so close that, well, let's take one example in the last recession. GM went out of business, refinanced, all the shareholders got zero and gone. Right? See? So that's why you don't do one. You never know on one. I'm financial advisor Steve Peasley, and this is InvestTalk. We're here to help you learn how to invest, to build your financial knowledge and courage and know-how, how to protect yourself, how to protect your investments, how to grow them and protect them. Let's talk. 888-99-CHART. $88.99. Let's talk to Max in Los Cabos. How you doing, Max?
Very good, very good. I'm calling about GDXJ. I had about a 15% total portfolio in gold and these junior gold miners and GLD. And I did so well in it after some early suffering, I cut my position back in half, and it just keeps going up. And it looks like it broke out today. And I was thinking it was going to fall back, gold would. Mm-hmm. But it these junior miners just keep going.
Yeah,
I want to get your opinion on that.
Well, we own this one. Let me rephrase that. We own GDX. This is GDXJ.
Right.
So I feel like I should confess that we own something very similar, because this is the ETF seeking the performance corresponding to the market vector's junior gold miners index. Junior gold miners index, where GDX is just the miners index. I think, if you've been listening to me and Justin for a while, we've been pounding the table that gold is going to rise, going back to last year, and we felt that it was going to rise, even though last year it really got beaten up pretty good. And it finally started to happen at the beginning of the year. Gold started to move up. I still think, Mac, it's going to go up. So I would not sell your positions. We have not sold, I won't say that. We sold half of one position in our gold because we doubled our money, and it just felt like it should pull back. And we got, but we didn't get much of a pullback. So I did the same kind of thing you did with one of my positions, but we have like five positions and one position in silver. We are holding on. Let me put it that way. Now, it looks like it broke out. GDXJ broke out today against all resistance. And GDX did too. And that's the gold miners. The whole mining sector is doing well. It looks like all they did was consolidate a little bit and then broke out higher. So I still think they have I think they have more to go on the upside. I do.
Yeah, I do too. I think I was just trying to get cute. I thought I'd take some profits and maybe get down back in at a lower price. And
right.
It doesn't look like it's going to work.
Okay, but so, Mac, it's never wrong to take some profits, just so you know. It's never
okay.
I mean, yeah, a crystal ball would have been helpful for you, but it's never wrong. So don't beat yourself up. You did a good job by having gold. Many people don't have any. So.
Oh, I don't get mad when I make money, but
yeah.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Thanks, Mac. Appreciate the call. Let's go to G in Houston. How you doing, G?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it.
I own 100 shares of Flowserve, FLS, and I'm down about 10%. In the recent days, I saw a couple of downgrades on the stock, so I wanted to call and see, should I get out or stay in? I don't need the money, but still, and I think the oil is going to go up in the next couple of years for sure, but okay. I wanted to see your opinion on it.
I will say this, Flowserve Corporation has been on our watch list for quite some time. The symbol is FLS. We haven't bought it, and I'm not going to buy it anytime soon, but I'm always watching because I like where they are. They manufacture engineered pumps, valves, mechanical seals for engineering, construction applications, and end users. I always like that part of what they do. They've always made money. Yes, they're making less money now. They're going to make $2.49 this year when they made $3.07 last year. And next year is going to go up to $2.72. And sales have been slowly shrinking. But I think they've done very well or managed that shrinkage very well in light of the huge hit oil has taken, and they haven't been spending money. Those big oil companies haven't been buying products from Flowserve. So I think they've done a really good job of getting through this slow time that they're in. And I think that the stock, it's a $42 stock. It's going to make $2.72. So I think the stock is probably, fairly priced. It's not cheap enough for me to get into it, G. But if you already own it, I think I'd hold on to it. I don't, if I already own this, I think I'd hold on to it for a long term. because they have a really good return on equity, 23%. This is a very solid company, not a lot of debt. I think it's a good company, or else I wouldn't be watching it myself. So I think I'd hold on to it, G. Thank you for the call.
Appreciate it.
Thank you. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. So what did you like to talk about? Well, I don't have a lot of time, so I'm not going to be able to talk about a lot of the talking point. But can you make a lot of money in mutual funds? Of course you can. How much money can you make using them? Mutual funds, it depends on the kind of mutual fund, the kind of investor you are, your time horizon. I wish it was just a simple answer of saying, okay, do this, and there you go. It's never that simple. I mean, think about the different kinds of mutual funds. How about a money market mutual fund? You buy a money market mutual fund, you'll make hardly anything, right? But it's very safe. Oh, how about a bond fund? You know how many different kinds of bond mutual funds there are? Junk bond, treasury bond, corporate bonds, short-term, long-term bonds. It's infinite. 888-99-CHART. You can call us right now.
We thank you for subscribing to our podcast. And a reminder that Steve will be on Skype and telephone all day April 19th for individual retirement reviews. It's a handy way to take advantage of a second opinion being offered by a registered investment advisor. To get on his schedule, just go to investtalk.com and click on the Invest Talk tab. With this Friday, April 8th, Invest Talk. Our webinar coming up next week, Survival and Opportunities in a Volatile Market. You'll learn how to manage your money when volatility has you worried, how to find the opportunities. It's set for April 14th, Thursday, 6:30 p.m. Pacific Time. Register now. It's free on investtalk.com. Just click on the Invest Talk tab.
888-99-CHART. We're going to talk to Joe in San Jose. How are you doing, Joe?
I'm doing very well. Thanks for taking the call.
Thank you.
So I just recently heard you talking about the gold miners, the TDX, and a few others. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to put your take on one that's called Nugget, N-U-G-T. It's a three-time leveraged fund.
Yes.
It seems to be pretty well out there somewhere. So I just...
Let's talk about, it's called the Direction Fund, Gold Miners 3x Bull, an exchange-traded fund seeking performance corresponding to 3x the New York Stock Exchange ARCA Gold Miners Index, okay? So we've talked about three ETFs that track the miners index. This one is leveraged 300%. So you're saying, you would say, okay, this goes up 300% faster than the others that are not leveraged. And right. if you look at and compare the two, you'll see that it's not true. Isn't that interesting?
Oh.
It's not true. They're not going up 300%. They're trying to, but they don't. So my biggest problem with the leveraged funds is that they don't really do what they say they're supposed to do. And I worry that what if it doesn't do what they say they're supposed to do on the upside, but what if they do on the downside? So what if it goes up 200% on the upside, but down 300% or even more on the downside? It depends.
Oh,
yeah. So I don't really care for the leveraged funds too much, even though you can use them as trading. I don't really have a problem for you to use them as trading, but not as a long-term investment. It's too scary. Okay?
Good advice. Well, thank you very much.
Thanks, Joe. Appreciate it. N-U-G-T was the symbol that we were talking about, everybody. Gold Direction Gold Miners Bull, 300% leveraged. And I didn't really get the chance to finish talking about bonds, about mutual funds. And the question is all about how much money can you make by using them? Well, you can make just as much money by using them, but you can buy in stocks. Same amount, you can have the same opportunity. But like stocks or anything else, it depends on where you are. What are you buying? And are you in the right one at the right time for the circumstances of the economy and the stock market at that particular moment in time? It's always difficult. Stock mutual funds, you can buy mutual funds that are very, very volatile. Look at this one we just talked about. This is not a mutual fund, it's an exchange trading fund, but there's mutual funds that do the same thing. Three times leverage. You know, now there's mutual funds and ETFs that are, you know, hedge funds. Very risky things. So your opportunity to make money and lose money is just as great in mutual funds as it is in the stock market, in individual stocks. So don't think that that's not true. Okay, so, you know, there is an article that I'm referring to that you could read on investtalk.com if you want to get more information on this topic. Let's go to Mike in San Jose. How you doing, Mike? Oh, that was fast. Okay. Who is Kit in New York? How you doing, Kit?
Hey, good.
Thanks for the call.
I had a question. Thank you. I had a question for about a company, Garmin, the company Garmin.
Yeah.
Ticker GRMN.
Okay.
They got an earnings coming up, and I've been kind of noticing they've had a little bit of a turnaround. The last earnings were pretty positive, and it kind of gapped up. I was just kind of wondering what your thoughts were about the company.
Okay, Garmin Limited, everybody. And everybody used to remember, they're the ones that first came out with the maps that, you know, that you could put on, hold on, you put it on your car or whatever, and it would guide you to the different location. Manufacturers and markets handheld, portable, fixed-mounted GPS systems, maps. Okay, I would stay away from Garmin, and this is why, Kit, because what they do is not done by cell phones. Everything they have is going to be in your iPad, your cell phones, or in your car built in. Now, Garmin may be part of that, okay? They may be part of that, and they do have earnings, and earnings are going down 10% this year and then recover 3% next year. But and they pay a very high dividend, 5%. But I think their long-term prospects are not good. I just don't think, yeah, because of the cell phones. Think about you. Think about you, Kit. Do you use your cell phone when you want to go someplace new? Do you use the map, the directions in your phone? You probably do.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, you know, when you think about buying a stock, you always want to think about is there any disruptive technology that would kill the company? And I think that will hurt them down the road. I'm not saying.
Yeah, I know they have a pretty big product base, but
they have great products.
That is a factor.
Yeah, they have great products. There's nothing, yeah, it's not anything to do with the company. They're bad. No, they're not. They're a good company, good, solid company. I just worry about the future, and will the cell phone and then eventually cars have their own maps and airplanes and every place else, is just going to hurt them. So I think I would stay away from it if I were you. Okay?
Okay.
Thanks for the call, Kit. Thank you. Thank you for listening. And, you know, I hate to say it. And, you know, they probably will always have a niche in the market somewhere that they will do well. But as far as, you know, are they going to be, you know, a big, giant company? Well, they're a pretty decent size at $8.2 billion right now. But I think we've seen their heyday. I think they've seen it. I could be wrong. Maybe they'll change directions. They're big enough to, you know, buy other companies and change the direction of their company. I mean, they could do that. Time for InvestTalk Personal, the money choices we make that can have lasting impacts on us, on your money. How about spring cleaning your debt? Okay, here's some advice from 360 Financial Literacy, and a lot of it I agree with. Now, it might be a good time right now to evaluate your debt situation. It always is a good time, personally. Determine whether it makes sense to refinance your home. Is it time? Do you have, I mean, interest rates, mortgage rates are very low right now. Does it make sense? You want to drive down the cost of that loan as much as you can, and at the same time, pay extra on the mortgage so you can pay it off sooner. Consider loan consolidation. Does it make sense to consolidate your loans? Now, one of the drawbacks of loan consolidation is a lot of people consolidate all their loans and they get one payment and they get comfortable and then they start getting other loans again. That's not the point. The point is to consolidate your loans and to pay them down, to pay them off. Consolidate them only because it's cheaper and easier to understand and see you paying off your mortgage, your loans. You could also consider taking a home equity loan to pay off with cheaper debt the higher debt that you have. And there's one here that I'm a little worried to mention at all. And is evaluate whether or not it's smarter to invest the money in the market or pay down your debt. Because I'm a big proponent of paying off debt. And I like to differentiate between good debt and bad debt. And it's hard to be on the radio and tell everybody what those different parts are. I mean, essentially good debt is when you buy assets that appreciate. Bad debt is when you buy items that depreciate. Good debt, bad debt. But what you really need to do is come up with a strategy and definitely pay off your credit cards. You should not have any revolving credit card debt. I don't mind using the credit cards. I use my credit card all the time. Every time I buy something, I use a credit card if I can because I get cash back. But I always pay it off every month. When the bill comes, I pay it off. So, and whenever on a mortgage or anything else, you might consider paying additional payments or more, pay more. I know it's hard to pay. I know you got to get out of that cycle of debt. Everybody does. Now, there's a link to the article on InvestTalk.com if you want to see it right there. Let's get back to answering the phones. This is InvestTalk 888-99-CHART.
Hi, Steve. This is Sean from New York. I'm a podcast listener. I wanted your opinion on ABX, Barrick Gold Corporation. What do you think about it? Thank you very much.
Bye-bye. Well, I like it a lot since I own it. This is the one that we purchased when it was around $7 or so, and today it's at $15. And being $7 is not that long ago. Don't think that was like, oh, man, that was a long time ago. How about it was in December, January? Okay, so that's how fast this has moved up. And I wished I didn't, but I sold half, you know, after we doubled our money, and it's continued to go up. I like the company. It's a Canadian company engaged in the production of gold and copper in Canada, Peru, Chile, and other. It makes money, has always made money. Sales have been shrinking, but again, you're buying these things based on what you think gold is going to do. And what you think gold is going to do is you got to kind of look at the U.S. dollar. What do you think the U.S. dollar is going to do? Is it going to continue to rise? Well, it's been falling all year. And gold has been going up all year. A dollar fell again today. See, so it's always difficult. Earnings for them is only going to be 30 cents, or was 30 cents a share in 2015. For 2016, it's going to go up 33%. For 2017, it's going to go up another 30% earnings. But the stock is not cheap based on earnings. But I bought this stock because I think gold is going to turn around. And this company makes money, constantly makes money. Even when gold got hit, it still makes money. Now, in the heyday, it was making $4 a share, 2011, 2012. Man, if we can get back to that, this stock is going up to, you know, much higher. Much higher. But you might want to wait for a pullback. I mean, who knows? If you've been listening to the show, I'm not a big gold person. Yeah, I admit to that. I am not. But when I see an opportunity, I'll invest wherever I have to go. I don't like airlines. I don't like car companies as far as investments. But if I see opportunity, it doesn't mean I won't do it. It just means I don't care for them. So this is not a long-term investment for me. But as long as I think that the fundamentals look pretty solid of gold prices, and I think the dollar is not going to go up, and maybe if we can get some inflation, that will help gold. There's a lot of reasons why gold got beat up, but there's also those same reasons why it's been overdone. So Barrick, ABX, good solid company. 888-99-CHART. Alcoa is kicking off earnings season on Monday after hours. We're going to know what their earnings are going to be. Why? You know, we've already had some earnings reports already from other companies, but Alcoa has been the traditional start, their earnings report, the traditional start of the earnings season. They expect to have a third straight quarterly decline in both sales and revenues. They're going to expect to have two cents a share in earnings. A year ago, it was 30-something cents a share. Also, at the same time, this is going to be the fourth straight decline of earnings for the S&P 500. I mean, for the stock for Alcoa is down year over year 34%. They have been downgraded. Watch very carefully. You'll see that they probably will beat their expectations. But beating expectations when you've downgraded the expectations so far is not a feat. This is the kind of thing we need to turn around. We need to turn around the sales and earnings of all S&P. What's happening is earnings are going down. The stock market really isn't falling. So the value built in these companies is going down because their earnings are going down. And yet their stock prices are staying the same. So the P.E. ratio is going up. Because the P is going up and the E is going down. So it's not a very comfortable situation. And Alcoa, I don't think it's going to surprise us on the upside. I don't think so. They might beat their earning expectations, but it's big whoop, that is. I've said that several times now. 888-99-CHART. At the same time, the next talking point, U.S. stocks are the best investment right now. Boy, is that contradictory or what? Sign up for our Invest Talk Insiders program. You'll have instant access to a library of webinars and easy-to-read info sheets on all sorts of popular financial topics. It's free, and sign up is online at investtalk.com. Just click on the Invest Talk tab.
A reminder that Steve will be on Skype and telephone all day April 19th for individual retirement reviews. It's a handy way to take advantage of a second opinion being offered by a registered investment advisor to a limited number of our listeners. To get on the schedule, just go to investtalk.com and click on the Invest Talk tab.
U.S. stocks are the best place to be, everybody. Why am I saying that? Maybe because there's no place else to go. We'll talk about it. Our Invest Talk Anytime number is 888-99-CHART. I'm here to answer your questions, any money questions you might have. 888-99-CHART.
Glad I found you guys again. I was first introduced when you were on a local AM station out here and stumbled into you guys back on the internet.
Invest Talk is here to help.
Thank you.
And we thank you for listening.
So I said U.S. stocks are the best investment right now. Invest in U.S. stocks. And at the same time, I'm telling you, we're probably going to have another correction. We're having troubles. The market's kind of overvalued. Well, one of the reasons is, what's your alternative? Are you going to go to the EU? You're going to invest in Europe? Well, you know, Britain is voting on to exit the EU. Don't you think that's going to become in headlines here shortly if they exit? Or you're going to go to Japan? You're going to invest there? They're worse off than Europe. Okay, how about China? Well, you could say China's growing. It is still growing, but their growth is shrinking. Emerging markets. What, Brazil is in one of the worst recessions it's been? Yeah. Where else are you going to go? Yes, when you have, in the U.S. economy is recovering. We have recovered, and we're growing 2.4%. And yes, that's not that big. We are producing jobs. And yes, there are a lot of part-time jobs, not high-paying jobs, but we're producing a lot more jobs than anybody else. Okay, so there is a real recovery here in the United States. Where are you going to put your money? You're going to put it in Europe somewhere? I don't think so. So that's what I mean. Well, the U.S. stocks are the best. Now, of course, there's going to be some stocks that work, some that don't. But to be honest, there's no other alternative right now. If there was, I'd tell you about them, and I would be investing in them. There just isn't. Not yet. Not now. So I think that's, I think what I've said is very true. U.S. is a place, best place to invest, the U.S. stock market. Just got to be careful. Blue-collar jobs that pay big bucks. I want to talk about that maybe before we end the show. Let's give the last word, though, to a caller, a 24-hour listener, 888-99-CHART.
Hi, it's Lance from Pacific Grove. I'm listening to you on 1220 AM, and I'm wondering, I have an extra money coming in, roughly $2,000 a month. I'm already maxed out of my 401. What would you recommend I do with this money, $2,000 extra each month for an investment? I'm 66 years old. I'm going to retire in 18 months. Thank you very much.
Probably for the time being, at being 66 years old, to give me a little bit more information, and you're going to retire shortly, I probably wouldn't take a lot of extra risk with that money. If you're already maxing out your 401k and you already have investments. So therefore, I might suggest a short-term bond fund. Might be a good place to do it. Or maybe even I would probably lean on being more conservative with that money, not aggressive. You can also throw it at the market, of course, but you never know if it's going to go up, down, sideways. No one knows that. So it would without knowing more about you, and how much money you have, and how much money you're going to live off in retirement, my suggestion would probably be a short-term bond fund of some kind. Blue-collar jobs that pay big bucks. One of the biggest, best-paying blue-collar jobs, but it's one of the toughest jobs out there, in my opinion, is being a police officer. You can make $50,000 to $116,000 as a policeman. Now, I'm not talking about a sergeant or anything. They make between $105,000 and $130,000. I'm talking about being a police officer, depending on where you are. Good blue-collar job. Bartender, at least in big cities. Big city bartenders can make $45,000 to $70,000. You can even make $100,000 in high-end bars with tips. It's amazing how much those guys can make. And they work at nights. You know, they don't have to put an all-day job. Contractor and construction managers. Contractors and construction managers average nationwide about $65,000 in the more densely populated areas, more up to $100,000. Farmers and ranchers, $70,000 to $120,000. Remember, these are all blue-collar jobs, jobs you don't have to have a college education. It might help in many of these areas, but don't have to have. For instance, bartender, of course, it's not going to help. But a police officer might need probably some additional education. And how about oil rig workers? Now, of course, they're being reduced, but they make over $100,000. Pretty good jobs. Pretty good. Our time is up. A reminder, I will be doing individual retirement reviews on Skype and telephone all day on April 19th. Then the next day, I'll be in the San Ramon office on the 20th. So we'll meet you there if you want. So, and I have a new day for San Diego County, April 12th. That's next Tuesday, by the way. So get on my schedule if you want to sit down and talk with me. Be happy to do it. Go to InvestTalk.com and click on the InvestTalk tab. I'm Steve Peasley, president of KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm. And for Justin Klein and everybody at KPP, thank you for listening today. And we'll do it again on Monday.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for listeners to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis, and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. Steve Peasley and Justin Klein are principals of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, Call 1-800-557-5461. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, which retains all rights.